be sure to write it down. But it is now 7:02. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette. Co-Chair Lennon. Commissioner Haley.
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta. Commissioner Cadleck. Commissioner Avalos.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt. Student Commissioner Steerwalt. We only have three voting members present, so we do not have a quorum. The only actionable item we had was adoption of last month's meeting minutes, so we will just skip that part of the agenda. Moving on to public comment, we have one individual here, so if you could go up, make sure the microphone's on, and state your name, please. Is there a green light on it?
Hello?
There you go. Perfect.
Well, thank you very much. I'm thankful for everything that this commission does for the village. My name is Peter Chen. It's spelled C-H-I-E-N. I'm a River Forest resident on Oak Avenue, and I'm a practicing psychiatrist. And I just wanted to bring forth an issue that I know has come before this commission before. But as you well know, Oak Park instituted its gas leaf blower policy on June 1st, so just last week. And I wanted to bring it forth back to this committee because in reading the minutes, I didn't see it reflected in the minutes until last in January. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the issue to me is threefold. You know, it's one of noise quality. So we know that gas leaf blowers can average about 80 decibels, which over time is harmful to hearing. And to the person operating the gas leaf blower or somebody close by, it can be over 100 decibels. It's an issue of health. So we know that the particulate matter, the hydrocarbons, and just pollution from the inefficient motors affects human health, so respiratory, cardiovascular, neurological, and others. It's actually globally one of the highest public health disease burdens out there, air pollution. And we know it's a quality of life issue. So in addition to noise quality and health, it allows us to keep our attention where we want. It allows us to be in our homes and in the River Forest community without excessive noise, and it builds community in that way. And I just wanted to revisit the why this is a good time to do that. A matter of desire. So the survey said that about 70% of River Forest residents identify this as a concern. A matter of impact, the environmental health and quality of life, but particularly for people that don't wouldn't necessarily come to a meeting like this. So people who are homebound, the youth that are going to be affected for decades by the climate pollution, and people who are sick, including our future selves with neurological, respiratory, and cardiovascular problems. The issue of timing or cost. Since the externality cost is greater than any of the monetary costs we can do, and timing, you know, with Oak Park's policy going to effect June 1st, we can really multiply the effect of anything that we do and the effect of our neighbor community by really incentivizing the businesses that find a way to do this and the individuals that find a way to do this well. So, I know this commission is working that. I just want to reemphasize why this is really a good time for action.
Thank you. Do you want to respond? Or? All right, I'll start, and if you have anything to add. Okay, so thank you very much both for coming and for bringing this up. So as you mentioned, we had talked about this earlier this year, and we'd come up with a very limited response, which was more incentive than ban, which we submitted to the Board of Trustees, and it came back to us and they said we needed to strengthen a little bit, which we did. And I don't remember what month that passed. Maybe Seth remembers. And it went back to the Board of Trustees, and it's just been sort of languishing there. But last night, this did come up last time at a village meeting, And it was agreed that we're going to revisit it, or the board will take it up. So we expect to see some action soon on that. And there's all types of concerns and resistance to it, both from the lawn care services, and some have the feeling that we should wait and see how it works out in Oak Park. There's concerns about the way that it's going to be enforced, but you know, I'm hopeful that we can at least do something to signal to lawn care that this is something that's inevitable. And so thank you for bringing it up.
Can I just say a word about that?
Of course.
I just want to say that, you know, I know we've considered a lot of policies and I'm not even sure everything that's come up, but I really support what Oak Park is doing, you know, which is really not to say a limited time or a limited way, but they are just saying, you know, find another way to get the outcomes done. And I really do think, I know the village board before said we should learn, you know, from other villages. You know, we have a great chance to signal that we're going to do something strong and then learn from our neighboring village with whatever phase in that we do, because we all know people in Oak Park that can help us with how this is going. So I really do think I'm glad the village is working on it. I'm not sure what stage is in. Mm-hmm. If it needs help, I'm certainly willing to personally help with that. But I just, you know, I think a really strong signal and a really strong policy could really multiply its impact at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, the only thing I would add, and just for everyone else's awareness, Susan Manolo and I were all at the village board meeting last night. It was raised by Trustee Brennan initially, and then discussed as I was discussing other sustainability matters that were in front of the board. Susan and I both spoke on the issue. It seemed like there was indication of bringing it up in the July meeting, board meeting. So,
Like a vote of what we drafted for them?
That's okay. What my impression is. And obviously the board can choose to sort of amend that draft. And I'd sort of explain we preserved the incentive and then looked at their direction at what a lot of the North Shore communities had done and developed a framework there. So
they're not looking for any other action or follow-ups from our end. It's all in their court.
Yep, it's all in their court. There's been no request from the board for anything further from the commission. Moving on, as I said, we don't have a quorum of voting members, so we will hold off on adoption of the meeting minutes until next month's meeting and move on to commissioner updates.
I can start. So as Seth already mentioned, Manolo and I were at the board meeting last night, and I just want to thank Seth for doing a really, really, really impressive job of just summarizing our response to the climate action plans that we received from the University of Illinois Chicago. And I guess the other thing I would add is being in the audience in attendance, that I think sometimes when we're working on things, it looks like it's going at a snail's pace. But when you see someone who, you know, so thoroughly and comprehensively covers it, it really does show. I mean, the reaction that I got from people was like, wow, you guys are really doing a lot. So thank you for conveying that so well, Seth. And someone else said, where'd you get that guy?
Thank you to all of you guys for all the time you volunteer. You know, I know, Jamie, you've put together so many different things, the survey, the tour. Manolo, you're out at, I think, every event. You know, Susan, obviously, you've been doing a lot for years on this commission. So I'm just this person who sort of packages it all together at the end. So would not get done without all of you guys.
But you do an extremely good job packaging it. So I did all that. The meeting was good last night. Also, I just wanted to flag, I don't know if any of you saw this, but Vault Post, this I was confused if they had just started in Oak Park or if they've done it before in New York and California, as was mentioned, but they put a charging station in Oak Park, but instead of just building another pole, they what they Vault Post does is they utilize an existing pole, and for this they partnered with the Oak Park Park District and put it in one of their lots, I believe. And they are only level 2 charging, but if you're at a game and on a field, I feel like it might be beneficial for maybe to look into it and put a few at Keystone or one. I know we've got those 8 chargers that they voted on last night, but it might be worth looking into. I don't know. That's all mine. Thanks.
Okay, so I was thinking, just the survey, we rolled it out a while ago, almost a year ago, I think. And it was geared towards residentials. So I was thinking, and I know we kind of chatted about this before, but potentially expanding that to businesses. I kind of drafted some ideas. What are your thoughts? Is this something that we kind of want to pursue, getting more business engagement with sustainability? Or I know we got a lot on our plate. I don't want to, dip our toe in another, pool. But if there's any interest in the business side of things, is that something? I see your head nodding. Yes.
I think that would be fabulous. I think that's something that we, well, I think it's an area that we definitely, have room for improvement in. And I think in addition to surveying them, we could,
initiatives.
Yeah, but we could also signal our willingness to partner with them. So, so have a section which is really open-ended and say, we're here for you too. And, we want to promote any sustainable aspects of your, of your business, and, just really open it up for partnerships. I think it's a really good idea.
So, and what kind of prompted that is that the shoe recycling, I don't know, I can't remember if you sent that out this a jam-packed. I think every week there was something else. I don't know if we ran out of time.
Yeah. So with that one, I was saving it. Okay. That was planning for the communication discussion, whether you want that to run for
whenever
the July monthly,
yeah. Okay,
or
perfect.
I could use it for August monthly as we get closer.
Whatever next date is, yeah. Fine. So what kind of prompted the business is so DSW recycle shoes. And then there was someone else had something, a short-term initiative. I can't remember what the business was off the top of my head, a local business. I think it was Athletico. And I can't remember the second organization. So there's an organization, I think it was the second one in that summary that I sent you, that you can have a shoe, you can set up a permanent location at a business and have people drop off their shoes. A person can actually set up and get monies from this organization. And then there was a third thing where it's like school fundraisers. So they had 3 really wonderful options. And my husband owns a gym, and he signed up for like a permanent shoe donation spot. He's not in River Forest, he's in Forest Park, but it kind of prompted my brain. Hey, these are some of the things that some of our, local businesses can do. There's some opportunities out there for us to kind of, distribute some ideas for some of our business partners. So that was kind of the other piece that kind of prompted it. So I'm sure there's way more opportunities. We can kind of dig in. So I was hoping that somebody, if there was some other opportunity like this shoe recycling, if anybody knows, I can start compiling a list and distributing some information or putting a list together for businesses. And then last, the charger. Is there the charging stations? Is there anything that you need for communication or, that end? Is that on the agenda?
Yeah. So that's just but I can sort of jump forward to that part right now and give you guys a general update on that. So that was approved by the board last night. So we are moving forward with the 3 charging station installations. There was a lot of discussion from the board regarding, the fee for charging, the sort of charging for charging. We had initially established the overstay fee with our 1 charging station here. Seems like it's the preference of the board, and this was what we had discussed staff internally, is moving to a per kilowatt hour fee, which is what most communities do at this point. So I do have some comparable rates from other communities and public sector entities, park districts, library districts, for us to review. That would likely be closer to when we're getting ready to energize these stations, which I think we're looking at August based on sort of the lead times for all the various products. The lot adjacent to CVS might be a little bit longer than that, just because we need to run extra power to that location.
So do we have to come up with the fees, the proposed fees by then? Or
I will have some framework for you guys to discuss. But yes, this commission will be voting on a recommendation for the fees that the board will then formally adopt and codify.
So we should probably put that on the agenda for July, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
You know, I didn't want to put you on the spot last night, but the cost of these, in the comments, somebody said two, referred them as two, but it's
13 with 18 charging ports that can simultaneously.
Yeah, it was so off.
Yeah.
And then the cost is close to $1 million. And what portion of that is being funded by grants?
Roughly two thirds between grants and rebates. And then actually we just received another general capital grant, mm-hmm. and we're just looking into the eligibility if that can also be applied to this project, just because it's okay. It just says capital improvements. So it's
okay. Because I think one thing maybe you could just think about this ahead of time, but one thing we should consider was I think one of the trustees brought up how long will it take us to recoup the costs? So, you know, looking at that one third that remains, which looks like it's a little bit over 300,000.
I believe it was 314,000 was the net not to exceed amount. So that's after the grant and then the rebates from ComEd for the make ready work, which is ComEd will has a specific formula, but they will cover a cost based on for the direct current fast chargers, the kilowatt hours, and then for the level two, just the number of ports for any work basically up to the piece of equipment. They will not cover anything related to the piece of equipment. And then the IEPA grant has a lot of eligibility requirements. They will cover the piece of equipment. They do require things like warranty and sort of the network plan that makes it operate. But those things are specifically excluded from the costs they would cover. So that's a lot of what the village cost.
The general grant, how much would that cover of the $314,000?
$200,000.
$200,000. So we would have to come up with like another $114,000.
Yeah, and again, that's something that just got released from DCEO. So looking into all of the eligibility of that. But that's been just preliminary discussions. There's, estimates we can do. I just looked at sort of the numbers for this charging station last night, and cumulatively over the year, the past 365 days, I was able to just select that as one of the things. It was roughly 36,000 and change kilowatt hours.
And I'm sorry, 36,000 hours we charged.
The total charging that was kilowatt hours is the amount of energy flowing through. So
it's not the 2 hours free
And what's the range that, because you've been looking, what's the range that other municipalities charge?
Generally it's in the 15 to 25 cent per kilowatt hour range. Okay.
What is Oak Park charge?
25 cents per kilowatt.
25 cents. For any, the fast or the standard?
Yeah, so the fast chargers, that because they charge faster, you're going to, that
still
is going to incur.
But it's not an additional charge.
No, it's just going to.
It's going to, you're going
to. It's quicker. That amount is going to go up quicker than the level two chargers, but yeah, you still need the same sort of amount of kilowatt hours, which is like the hours thing is weird to think of, but it's a volume more than a time. Yep. So, yeah.
Right. So, well, yeah.
I'm sure that equipment, though, is more expensive than the slower.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess in addition to that, even if we're charging for kilowatt hours, we still want to have, as we have disincentives for this, we still want to have fines so people aren't leaving it there for 8 hours.
Yes, especially with the fast chargers. I mentioned at the board last night. So those typically get an 80% charge in about 20 to 30 minutes. If it's going beyond 45 minutes, you're really pushing that full charge. After it hits 80%, it will slow down. I don't think there's any sort of mechanism to ding them at that point. But, you know, they will continue to pay for the energy costs until, and we just, yeah, want to incentivize people to move after they become.
And does Oak Park have a disincentive? My recollection was that they did not.
I do not know. Yeah, I'm unsure.
And I think the other, so I just, you know, did a quick calculation. So this, if we were charging 25 cents per kilowatt hour, if I did my math right, it'd be just under $10,000 a year. But I don't think with 13 or 18 ports, we could, 13 chargers, we could expect the same volume. And, you know, especially this being near Village Hall and, you know, there are employees, staff, employees who charge here and meetings and everything else. So the usage, at least initially, would probably be much less.
Yeah, I think the usage will probably spread out. Mm-hmm. I think the greater availability, particularly with the fast chargers, I would expect those to do more. I would expect the level twos at the metro station, and this is something we'll need to figure out with the how to apply those overstay fees, simply because it's very possible somebody will come there in the morning, seek to charge their car while they're in the city for 8 to 10 hours before getting back. So,
and how many are going to, how many chargers are at the metro station again?
5 dual port level twos. So, up to 10 vehicles could charge there at one time.
Mm-hmm. How, so if we determine that what we, the pricing or, you know, the duration of people parking there, can we modify that if we determine that it's just not the correct rate or?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's, in terms of like,
because we have no history besides this one, so I think
and we're using ChargePoint, which is the same as this one, so it'll all be on one same system. We did look into a few others, and just in terms of cost and how everything compared, it was, they're roughly all the same, whether it's Samsung or this. Tesla was the one that was different and weird, but in terms of most of the major charger producers, simply because we already have this system in place, we know how it operates. We've had very good success with their customer service in terms of any sort of malfunctions with the thing. I mean, we even had a cracked plastic screen and they were out within a couple weeks to get it fixed. So, yeah, I've had good experience in working with them. It just sort of made sense to stick with them. We got a sort of competitive quote, and that's who we chose to go with.
But if we determine our rates are
we can
go to the board,
go in, yeah, the board can recommend the board amend it, they can amend it, and then I can go into the system the next day and change it.
But with people parked there for 8 to 10 hours a day, that's going to be generating really minimal revenue.
But that would be, I think the other 8 chargers would have very high turnover, because they are fast chargers.
Okay.
And we would have an overstay fee to encourage that turnover.
Is the idea, or I don't know if you put any thought into this, but just to start thinking about it, is the idea that we would charge the same for the fast chargers as the slower chargers?
Initially, simply because the sort of rate would go, the charging amount would go quicker. You would be paying a higher amount for the same elapsed time because it's getting more charge out of it.
Okay, so what you're saying is if we look at it in terms of charge per kilowatt hours, in terms of timing, it's more, but
it would sort of be like if one gas pump did 15 gallons in 1 second, and the other gas pump did 1 gallon per hour.
So
I know that math is like way off in terms of elapsed time.
No, I get it. It's different in kilowatt hour. Okay. Okay. All right. Do you know, is it, this wasn't an issue for ours, but is it possible, like at the metro station, that we have a different cost structure on weekdays versus weekends? Because we wouldn't want somebody on a Saturday to go and park there for 10 hours.
I would need to look into that.
Okay. Can you look into that prior to our discussion next week? Because it seems like we should disincentivize a 10-hour park on a Saturday or Sunday when...
The overstay fees, is it just like a ticket, or does the charging station actually have that built into the structure?
It's built into the cost structure of the charging station. It is capped at the amount equivalent to a parking ticket, but you're paying to the charging station then to us rather than a police officer going and writing a ticket and putting it on the windshield. I will say that if a vehicle is parked there and not plugged in, they can also be ticketed. Okay. And that's under state law.
Has that happened?
Not that I've seen, but.
Okay. I mean, the good thing about that is you have 100% compliance with, you know, whereas with a parking ticket, you may not, but.
Yeah. So obviously Ben isn't here. He had, not have anything for me for sustainability scorecard discussion, this month. He, in his email, was just, said to note if you all had any thoughts for him, for me to pass that along. I know, previous month's input, there was just some feedback given about, changing some of the items in his thing. And then I know Gary had suggested sort of moving away from the sort of scoring and point system and more of it being like an action list. I didn't know if anyone had any feedback. I'm happy to pass that along to him via email after the meeting.
I kind of have I don't know. I was thinking about this. I saw a Starburst graph and it kind of reminded me of, instead of like a list, maybe like a circle. I know it's, you know, just kind of like all of these different category or all of these different, all the different categories, and then like a circle instead of like a list, and then kind of color coding it for like, you know, electrified and, you know, recycling, and kind of like a sun or rainbow kind of thing. So it's more visual. I saw an exact, not exact, but something very similar in one of the presentations that I was looking at. I can forward it. I think I have his email. But it was just kind of, instead of just like a checklist, it made it a little bit more fun. And it seemed like you can print it out and like, you know, maybe put it on your window or something like that.
I think that might address all of the issues from the feedback of all the various ideas that have been thrown for this. So yeah, that'd be awesome.
I have to go and hunt it down, but I'll if I can't find his email too, maybe I can send it to you. And it had nothing to do with, like, it was a financial graph. So
it could easily be adapted to
our purposes.
I was just going to say, tell him if he needs any help. Like, I can totally help him with any of that. Like, if he just needs help making it or producing it, like, I'm totally...
Perfect. Should we move on to solar? So I put together some just quick info for rooftop solar and community solar metrics. So really just to provide an update, I think I had provided one of these honestly, probably 18 months ago, last time I did one for the rooftop solar permitting process. And then, as hopefully you all saw, another round of postcards went out for the community solar program. This was the metrics as of April 30th. So right before, or a few weeks before, the postcards went out. So this be a pretty accurate baseline for people who had signed up people who had enrolled in the program and then the total kilowatts of those subscriptions. And the wait list and the enrollment numbers were pretty flat for a long time. I think this was almost all people who had initially signed up the last round of postcards back in 2022, right before I started working with the village. And then there was a long wait list at the time. And then I think a lot of people who were sent offers just never followed through on it. So yeah, with the new one, we were, you know, Susan had mentioned this and Carrie had mentioned this last week, in prepping for this meeting, just wanting to brainstorm ideas of how to promote the community solar program, encourage residents to sign up, really sort of boost the enrollment numbers, because it can be confusing, but it does save money for anyone who enrolls in it. Cold.
What are we at?
It's at 61.
Time is so much warmer here in the winter than in the summer.
That's a question. When did it change from an opt-in? It used to be an opt-out.
So this is a lot of the confusion that residents have. So MC Squared runs both the Village Electric Aggregation Program, which is the opt-out program, and a community solar program, which is the opt-in program. So, yeah, the aggregation one is the opt-out one. It's same as your same ComEd rate billed through ComEd. It just uses, wind renewable energy credits to get a portion of the village. Yes, it was at 1.100%. Now it's down to, I think, 5%, which is sort of the bare minimum to meet the IEPA or clean energy community standard. But community solar is basically you are the, for lack of a better term, owner of a portion of a remote solar farm. So for, I'll just give myself as an example. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You are one of the 60 people in our program. See, that's interesting. We're not capturing that some people have done it directly, right?
That's true. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if there is a way to capture that. I know, you know, MC Squared did refer a small number of the wait list to Nexamp,
mm-hmm.
and they enrolled there, but that's sort of captured.
Could we reach out to Nexamp and say, you know, just as a village board, and say we're interested? Like, they don't have to give us the people, but could you give us the number of people that are on your program? Because that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know all the requirements with like the ICC and the state level regulations regarding community solar programs and whether those can be an opt-out program or anything like that. And then because it's still two bill, the sort of single billing has never been implemented, even though it had been approved by the ICC. I just don't know what the difficulty is. And I think there have been some proposals in Springfield that have tried to allow for sort of community-wide, like opt-out community solar. I just don't know if they've gone anywhere. And then there was, I know with the aggregation program, I believe there was a village referendum that sort of passed, I think it was back in like 2012, 2013 or something like that, that initially gave the village authority to do the opt-out aggregation program. So there are presumably need to be, because we're a non-home rule community, that additional step as well. So, yeah, I think there's a state level legal barrier and then another sort of legal barrier if that then became permissive. So there's a few things there. So, yeah, at the time, we're just sort of looking to, for the time being, to promote the opt-in program.
The community's response to the opt-out program has not been altogether favorable. I don't think it would support another, and in addition to being illegal. But I'm just trying to think of all of the ways that we could collect data, because NextAmp is not the only alternative. I'm wondering if ComEd could supply that information, since they must have statistics on who in this area is participating in any type of, you know, just to try to capture that whole number. So, I don't know, maybe just reach out to NextAmp. And it's also possible that people reached out to MC Squared independently of our program, either prior to it or, I don't know, for some other reason.
And with MC Squared, I would think, and I can follow up with them, but it would all be sort of still captured because it's by zip code.
Right. But let's just try to, yeah. If you could just make some, you know, since we're going to bring it up next time, just, where we, yeah, like just sort of circle back and say, you know, this is a really low number. I think it's not even 2% of River Forest households. I never hold on exactly to that number, but it's something over 3,000.
Yeah. So this MC Squared number says they sent out 4,296 postcards. So, and that might be, you know, per unit in multifamily buildings, mm-hmm. and also went out to businesses as well. So that might just be.
Yeah, we don't have that many households.
Yeah. So that might just be sort of mailing addresses within the village. Mm-hmm. So physical locations are captured more than once.
Yeah. I mean, we still have work to be done on educating the village. And this is really frustrating because, you know, I read through, my only real view other than, you know, conversations is to read through the comments on Facebook pages, and there's all kinds of misunderstanding since it's MC Squared. Is it the aggregate? Even on the board, I get the board of trustees, I get the feeling there's misunderstanding. But you know, we do have all the information out there. It just seems like people don't make the effort to seek it out. So I'm a little frustrated, and I wonder if anybody has any ideas about how we can increase awareness and reduce misunderstanding.
This is probably not a good idea, but like make a fun video with like graphics. Fast, I don't know if fast moving is the way to do it. And I feel like it has to be short because a lot of what I read the newsletter and it goes on and on and on. But not everyone reads it because it's too long. So just something individually sent to homeowners, a postcard with a QR code or a postcard with one sentence, but that's probably impossible.
So that's what's going out now is a postcard for sign up. I know some of the feedback from the board last night was to sort of find some way to sort of develop a graphic to show sort of the difference between like the aggregation program, community solar, rooftop solar, and just spell out the various ways.
Was there any communication within the UIC? I don't remember anything, but they have any type of marketing
I think there was something about
because maybe we can
promotion of the community.
Yeah, before, exactly. So. Maybe we can kind of steal from, you know, that data source and, you know, not steal, but use. So we don't have to recreate the wheel if there was anything in there. I can't remember off the top of my head if there was anything in. Or maybe we can even, you know, all these young kids are really good with social media. Maybe we can hit up some high school students or something and have like a campaign marketing, mm-hmm. you know, digital campaign, you know, to help make mm-hmm. people understand yeah. and promote it. You know, the Instagram and I don't know what else there is.
Right.
What's the most, or do you have this off the top of your head, like is the village's Facebook or Instagram more viewed or popular?
I don't know between Facebook and Instagram, but what basically every sustainability like newsletter article is repurposed as a Saturday post on both. Facebook, it's easier to provide the sort of links to stuff. If somebody was interested in sort of making it more social media focused, whether it's, you know, a video to be on Instagram and then it could be easily just shared on Facebook as well, or sort of a big image to go with it to be the bulk of the post, and then the article would be basically a description or caption. I don't know. I defer to you guys. We can, yeah, certainly shift it to be more of a social media focus than a sort of newsletter text focus for the weekly posts.
Do we have any budget? I mean, I guess we have a mailer already, a postcard. With, does it have, I didn't get the postcard yet. Is there like a QR code that's on it or anything? Like, do you have an example of it? Does it,
I haven't any seen it
so
yet.
It sounds like we have to dumb it down, but just make it more understandable for the public.
The feeling I got from reading the post on Facebook is that people got it, said, this is just another scam. One person's comment was, I don't understand why the village is like increasing the number of scams. I mean, just the lack of level of trust in us is disheartening.
Like, maybe we can have like village approved kind of thing, you know.
Well, it does say that. But what I don't know if this would work, but what I was hoping was that we would leverage the village's participation in it to say, like, you know, not only do we believe in it, that the village is doing it, and we're, you know, we are saving taxpayers, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars by doing this. But it just doesn't seem an area where people feel like, you know, if I don't understand something, I get out and start clicking and I get information. I don't just throw up my hands and say like, oh, you know, they're not explaining this. So, you know, I guess it's small scale, but we can also talk within our own circles about, you know, got to start somewhere.
It might be just information overload, though, too. And I feel like that's sometimes the case with, you know, just there's so much stuff and to read up. And
well, I did leave a comment. And one thing I said was, I don't know if you have all noticed that electric rates are going up, that people like status quo. But I tried to pose this as, this is a way to offset, you know, because I
future increases.
Yeah. Well, not just future, current. And I expect it only to go up because the, you know, the data centers are just gobbling up all of the energy.
Do you know how much the village has saved thus far?
It will not be online until later this year for the community solar. So we approved it last year, to sort of be the anchor tenant, sort of confirmed for this new solar farm that's, was starting to be built and will be sort of online. Yeah, I think I was told by the end of the year.
And are you locked in at a particular rate? Is the village locked in at a particular rate or at a discount off of ComEd pricing?
It's at a particular rate. I would need to...
A fixed rate?
Yeah, look it up. Okay. I don't have it offhand.
So if rates go up by a lot, the savings could be really considerable. Yes. Interesting.
So I did find in one of the climate plans here was one of the recommendations regarding community solar.
When did the savings potentially, when are we going to realize, or when can we quantify any savings? You said later this year. Is it like 2 months out, 5 months out? What's the time period?
In terms of the villages, community solar.
That's public knowledge, correct? We can say, hey, this is how much.
Yeah. I was planning to, once we start getting those, I mean, that first month, we'll be able to see sort of what that savings was. And then that would be sort of one of my standard reports to you all, like the waste report, like the EV charging report, things like that.
So how many, I'm sorry, when was the time frame you
I was just told by the end of the year is when they were anticipating.
Like December or the calendar year?
Of the calendar. Okay. Yeah. So I don't have anything more specific than that. I know they just wanted to make sure everything sort of from a billing perspective was in place for when that goes online.
And is the solar farm actually built?
I
don't know.
Or
in the process.
Nearly built.
Yeah. Okay. And so those preliminary, if it is December, those preliminary numbers, you know, I'm on community solar, those preliminary numbers will be pretty low because
the summer months will be much higher in terms of that.
Okay. And what percentage of, okay, and this is, I guess again, it depends on output. So over the course of a year, it's supposed to cover 100% of the energy that the pump station and the streetlights consume, right?
No. So because the pump station utilizes so much energy, it will not fully cover it. So we still have the purchased energy for those, which again, the board approved a 3-month contract for that at last night's meeting as well. That sort of, how we've been layering it is, you know, got this community solar program that would go in place, and then we, after that, we'll have a 100% renewable energy credit purchase for those accounts because those are not covered by the franchise agreement, the utility franchise agreement, which covers this building, the public works garage, and the traffic signals.
Do you know offhand what percentage of the pump station it covers?
I do not.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be difficult to estimate just because it's, you know, the credit on the sort of production of the village's share of that community solar farm versus the usage of these two accounts. It said shared on the screen, there was the recommendation from one of the climate plans regarding the promotion of the residential community solar program.
Which one was that one? Oh, the low. Okay. The low.
But it didn't have a lot of specifics about how to do it.
Yeah. It was just
in a very unrealistic time frame.
Yep. One paragraph and three bullet points there.
Mm-hmm.
But ideas, you know, probably worth discussion, discussing.
All right. Well, my only comment, I mean, I guess you guys probably noticed this too, but we have approximately the same number of households that have community solar versus rooftop solar. But the community solar is generating about 100 kilowatts less.
I will note one of the rooftop solar is actually ground mounted solar at one of the churches. And that is a significant portion of the kilowatts.
Okay. Do you know what year that was?
It was 2019, given the numbers here, that would be my rough guess. But as you can see, like some people are putting pretty significant sized panels on their homes and others are putting smaller panels on their homes. So,
okay. All right. Well, hopefully there'll be some response to the mailers. I mean, we'll just have to wait and monitor that and revisit.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll have full metrics by next month's meeting, but certainly by the August meeting, we'll at least be able to see this sort of initial thing. Because typically, they send it to me roughly mid-month from the previous end of the calendar month.
And do you have any sense from MC Square what the time frame of the wait list is now?
Nope, that is another thing I will
check with them. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Moving on in the agenda, One of the things we discussed last month, the EcoShip collection drive in April was a huge success. We had discussed a couple ideas of either hosting a permanent drop-off location or doing another big drive around the holidays. I had initially looked into it, and they do offer both those options. But the permanent ones, they limit it to people bringing in one paper bag of supplies at the location at a time. Obviously, people were bringing in a lot more than that for the April drive. And then I went back the day Susan, Gary, and I met last week to go over this agenda and saw that they were temporarily pausing their collections as they look for a new location for their headquarters. So they had been based in Westtown in the city. I guess their lease was being supported by the Westtown Chamber of Commerce, and the lease was up, so they're currently searching for a new location and are pausing collection until they have that in place. So hopefully they'll have something around before the holidays. I know, I believe that was Gary's suggestion initially, and that'd be a, you know, another great time for people to bring in any sort of mailing and packaging goods to drop off for reuse here. And then moving on. So I discussed this the last couple months, and I believe I had sent everyone the Word document if you had had a chance to sort of offer your own thoughts on the scoring for the American Bloom self-assessment survey. But the event, the tree planting event, will be 11 a.m. June 23rd. It'll be on the parkway over at the pump station on Berkshire. 11 a.m. Awesome.
We can still send you that sheet.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got to submit that by the end of this week. So,
right, this week.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I'm sorry. Can you tell us again where the meeting point is? Parkway and, I'm sorry, where was it?
Berkshire, and what are the two cross streets? It's in between.
Jackson and Monroe. Is that the next one?
Yes. Jackson and Monroe.
It's right near, it's, all the way. It's okay. Basically Trinity's parking lot.
Got it.
Yep. And you can visit the lovely community garden while you're up there. Oh, on that note, that compost at pump station is not being emptied.
All right. I will follow up with that office. I had sent them a couple of reminders. Okay,
and further request for recycling there, because they're throwing all kinds of recycling in either the landfill or the composting. So.
EV charging station update we had discussed on earlier, and then communications. Let me pull that up. Share my screen again. So the Pollinator Week information will run this week. I was planning the Switch Together Solar program. They had sent some sort of marketing informational material last week, and then that was discussed at the board last night as well. And then the CN tree grant and the Parkway trees will be promoted at the end of the month. I didn't know if we wanted to. I had a sort of either or for the July monthly. Since it's already written, can plug in the shoe recycling, and then we can run a small blurb on plastic free July the week after, just to I have not looked into what this year's sort of campaign for that is, but I know I think we've done weekly things at least the past couple of years, so I think it can be a short blurb, and we'll plan to plug that in for the
on July. The plastic free July. I'm not sure if it's on Facebook, but on Instagram there's a really good I think it's just called Plastic Free July. Is there any way the village can plug that? Because if you follow it, they give you, like in July, they give you like daily suggestions of what you can do.
Oh yeah. I will look into that, 'cause I think it's that's the organization that sort of
it is
develops.
And hopefully that would be done like late in June. 'Cause if people start following them, they can get like sort of daily, I think there's weekly recommendations and daily recommendations, and information on the history of it and everything. So instead of reinventing the wheel, just be good if anybody's interested to follow it. And I encourage everybody here to follow it as well.
Should you flip the plastic Free July and the shoe then?
So the shoe one, you had done a pretty extensive write-up. So I was thinking that would be a monthly article.
Oh, okay.
I can push that to August if you'd prefer. Or I think you might have done a shorter blurb, but I was more envisioning that for social media than for a weekly news article.
I don't remember. I think I did too. I tried to do a short one and a longer one.
Yeah, I think the long one I think would have been great because it's got all the information in there for one of the monthly news articles.
Maybe we should plug the plastic the week before then with the link. The
last week of June.
Yeah, and what could we do?
Or the very
Parkway Trees.
Yeah, so we've got the event on the 23rd, so we would have that go out in the newsletter the 27th.
Wait a sec. Oh, you mean like a recap?
Yeah.
Oh.
So next week is National Pollinator Week. The village is participating in the National Wildlife Federation's Mayor's Monarch Pledge. It's just a way to, promote, you know, monarch butterflies, other pollinator species. There is a new webpage on the village website with, links to a lot of these, sort of national organizations, some regional ones about, you know, if residents were interested, what species of plants to plant in their yard to sort of promote pollinators and monarch butterflies specifically, and just sort of raise awareness on that topic.
Is there any way we can move back to June 20th, the discussion of the 23rd event? Because for two reasons. One, it could, if anybody potentially wanted to come, they could come. It's informing them of that. And that would open up the 27th, so we can talk about Plastic Free July, because the next Friday would be the 4th, where I don't imagine a lot of people will be prioritizing reading their newsletter, and so it would already be the, you know.
Yeah, that'd be going out a day early. That'd be going out on the 3rd.
Okay, even so.
Yeah, because they start rolling out in June, and I feel like for the daily tips.
If there's any way we could do that, I think that would.
And I'm sorry, just so I'm clear, the Parkway Trees, that's the event that's plugging the 23rd, 11 a.m. event.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
Water footprint. What is water footprint?
That was one of the things Luis had written several months ago. It was sort of one of the last ones I had in reserve from, she had written a bunch of articles all at once, and it was just about, how different things, whether it's, you know, food consumption, whatever, like impact your water footprint, your water usage. And it was just promoting conservation of water usage. And then I think if anyone has any ideas for July 11th, our next meeting is July 8th, I believe. So we would have time to get something there, but if, I would ideally
read
by the 7th.
Month is like the what? Where's Louise when you need her?
Is it only if it's easily available? Can you look to see what we did last July?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
There was Plastic Free July, Give Something Away Day, pollinators, and then lawn watering were the topics. So
it's always nice to remind people about the lawn. Drives me bananas how much they water.
We do have a few like lawn watering guides. Mm-hmm. I think that one might be, I'll look at when that Give Something Away Day exactly is, if it times up that week or the next, and then I can plan to do those too.
Let's
recycle something from last year.
All right. That should get us, hopefully past next month's
meeting. And then we can talk about. Yep. Perfect. All right.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything about the charging stations? When was that?
I had discussed earlier when we were
in the weekly. Are you going to plug it at all when they go up online?
When they go online, but we're we're looking
not
at
close yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Anticipating August, but we'll see when we get the equipment, get it up and running. And yeah.
Did we get any participation? Because I know I texted a few people, like, fill this out, and someone said she might. Maybe should we revisit
the nomination form? The
nomination form.
I have not checked in a little bit. I did receive sort of an email notification when you were the first person to fill it out, but I have not noticed anything since then. Because I was getting them fairly regularly this spring with the compost sign up, but I have not seen anything with that. So that's another thing. If we need something 1 week, just to sort of plug it in and see. All right. Anybody have anything else? All right. So next meeting will be July 8th. Obviously, with the summer months, if you guys know you'll be out of town 1 week, let me know. I don't have anything planned in terms of voting action other than meeting minutes.
I'm trying to review the policy on this. If somebody's out of town, they can call in but not vote. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay.
They have to be out of town for work-related reason, or there's a couple other things, or like they can't be physically present because of, like, I think there's a few things of illness or like unexpected childcare emergency or things like, there's a few specific things listed out in the State Open Meetings Act. But if you're just on vacation, that's not a reason to be able to participate remotely legally. So,
but just to,
yeah,
you can participate. You just can't vote. So if you're just interested in listening, and just like, I think anybody could listen in, can't they?
Yeah. So I know we've had instances where Jeff has been traveling for work when he was on the commission, and was remote in. I know we've had other instances where people have just sort of called or joined the Zoom, but not that, I believe, Susan, you've done that before.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, if there's not anything, I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
And Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:04.